All go to the go to our Bibles. My scripture reading today is in Romans 4. So Romans 4, let's go to the 16th verse. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service. We thank you for Kelly Carroll, who gave his life to you. We ask that you help him each day and each moment of his life, and that he grows closer to you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless these words and thoughts that we will express, and help them to help us all as you would have. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. And my text is the verse 20 and 21 of Romans chapter 4. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God hath promised, he was also able also to perform. These are wonderful scriptures in the Bible, scriptures that lets us know of men and women of old who lived their life to God, had a closeness to God, some even speaking to God and God speaking to them. We almost believe from the words that we read in the Bible that these were audible words. At least at occasions they were. And we thank God for that kind of relationship. My message to you today is entitled Faith, Blessings, Healing, and Hope. Those are some wonderful words. Faith, blessing, plural, healing, and hope. And if you really think about these words and what the Word of God says about these, then you know that they are all interconnected, very much linked together. And they all are what God would have each and every one of His children, each and every Christian, to have. To have in a portion that would be what you would allow God and God's Holy Spirit to work in your heart and life as you grow in Him. All of these are received from God. They are received by His children, by members of God's family, and you are members of God's family as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, as you accept our Heavenly Father and all of His wonderful creative works, faith, blessings, healing, and hope. Did you know some people want to put a certain degree of uncertainty about some of those words? Particularly, they would think of, well, hope is something that you're wishing for. And to a degree, that's true. But hope in the Word of God is much more than that. And we want to see this morning how these words are connected and what the Word of God says about them. Let's go to Romans 10 and 17. And we all know that we have to hear about God in order to want to have a relationship with Him. We've got to hear about Him. We hear about Him through reading from His Word, but we also hear about Him from Word that comes from each one of our mouths to people that we come in contact with. We have to be vessels that God can use. We have to open our hearts and minds to God. And we have to realize that God is wanting to save as many as will come to Him. That's the point. It's all about God. It's all about His plan and us helping Him accomplish that plan, because He brought us into this world for a purpose. And part of that purpose is that we serve Him as best we can and we bring others to come to know Him and love Him and worship Him and love His Word, study His Word, and dedicate themselves and their life to Him and His service and to bringing others into that same kind of relationship. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Let's go to Galatians 3:26. We don't want to ever forget scriptures like Galatians 3:26, because it lets us know that we are just as important to God as part of, as one of His family, as one of His children. Each one of us are just as important to God as those that lived for Him thousands of years ago. We are one of His children also. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Can you say that you are in the family of God? Can you say that you are a child of God? Was Jesus Christ not spoken of as the only begotten Son of God? And you become, in essence, as Jesus Christ, in the sense that you become one of God's family. And God the Father is part of that. He is representative of the Father. As we think of our earthly Father, Jesus Christ was His Son. We are also His sons and daughters. You are all the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When we live our life, things get in the way. And clutter comes in. And all kind of distractions come in. And our friends wants to lead us in the wrong direction. And sometimes our relatives, people in our own family, seems like they're working against us. And sometimes even working against God. Of course, we know that ain't going to work very well for them. But we need God in our heart and life. 1 Timothy 6. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Can things lead you away from God? Yes, they can. And the love of money is one of those. And wanting too much materialistic goods at the expense of your spiritual life and your closeness to God and your walk with God can interfere. We can have wrongful priorities. And sometimes they are snares to us and plunge us into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced himself with many a pain. That's saying, in essence, we need to get our priorities in order. Materialistic things is not it. It's not going to give us satisfaction and contentment and self-worth. Let's go on down to 9. But flee from these things. Those things that lead you away from God, whatever they are. And it's more than I've just read so far. Flee from these things, you man of God, or woman, or daughter of God, woman, daughter, sons. And flee from those, but here it tells you what to pursue, what to go after, what to want. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Right living. Living like God wants you to live. Well, how is that? Go to God's Word, and God's Word will tell you. Ask God, and He'll show you. But we need to want to live right. Right living, righteousness, godliness. What's that? Like God. Being honest. Having godly characteristics. Being a person of your word, keeping your word, do what you say, doing what you know that God wants you to do. That is godliness, being like Him. Faith comes by hearing. Faith, love, no greater gift. We've commented on that in the last few Sabbaths. Perseverance. What does that mean? Not turning away, not getting distracted, not letting people enter into your life that you ought not to allow and start getting you going down the wrong path and making the wrong decisions. Separate yourself from those so-called friends and even family members if they're going to be so detrimental to you that they cause you to go in the opposite way of God. That God's Word tells us to do that. Separate yourself from that kind of thing. Perseverance. Holding on. Don't give up. It's not over till it's over. Hold on to God's hand forever. Never letting loose. Having a made up mind. God is yours, you are His. You accept Jesus Christ, He's in your heart and life. You want God's Spirit in there always and forever. Never to be changed. I will not change. I will take my last breath believing this. That's what you need to do. That's the kind of sincerity and dedication that you need to already have in your heart and mind. Perseverance. And gentleness. If you're gentle, if you treat people with gentleness, you try not to do things unpredictable. You try not to be too quick about what you say or do, how you react. Gentleness is something you put a little thought to something. before you do it. Being gentle. Fight the good fight of faith. And the fight is not over until Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, or until you draw your last breath. You fight the fight of faith from here on. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Know that that is one of God's gifts for you. If you want to call it perk, then it's a perk for being a Christian. Eternal life. Knowing that you're not going to die and that's going to be it and it's over and done. Sure, people will have their memories of you, and that is great and wonderful, and you want that. But being God's daughter or his son, and you having His promise of eternal life and living forever, and Jesus Christ Himself saying that when you believe in Him, you will never die. Now we know that some of us are going to take our last breath. So you say, how in the world can that be? How can Jesus say, if you believe in me, you'll never die? That's because when you take your last breath, you go in to the care of Jesus Christ. You don't cease to exist. You may cease to breathe. Your flesh and blood will be no more. But Jesus Christ says, death is not it. We live on. We have eternal life. We will be in the care of Jesus Christ. And when He comes back to the earth and breaks those clouds in glory at His second coming, then we will rise to meet Him in the air. It will be as though we just blinked our eyes if we take our last breath. It will be quick. You know how quick life is now, don't you? How quick it is. That little Dawson was a little baby, and now he's up virtually to my shoulders. And almost as a blink of an eye, it happened. Life is over quick. But then, if we are His, we will be in His presence forever and ever, for all eternity. What a promise that is. What a reward that is. What a perk that is for being God's child, with all of the things that is also made much better in the here and now, with accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Father God, and with His mercy and love. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Kelly made that decision today, and we were witnesses of his desire to be God's child and to accept the gift of salvation from our Almighty God, and accepting Jesus Christ into his heart and life and all of the wonderful things that come along with it and growing in them. Let's go to down to verse 20. O Timothy. This is the Apostle Paul giving advice to young Timothy, a young minister that he is trying to nurture. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Does it not seem to be true that the more knowledge you get, it seems more likely you are to think that you are really something and other people are much less, and that you just about know it all, and that there isn't a God? Atheist? Does not all of that sort of seem like that's the way it usually sort of works? Which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. We want knowledge, but we want knowledge with the Word of God that lets us know that true knowledge and wisdom comes from our walk with the Father God. In verse 20 it says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. It tells us what to guard. In other words, what to keep. Make sure we guard it. Make sure we hold it and have it. And then what to avoid. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. Can you go back on God? Can you turn loose of his hand? Can you decide you don't want God any longer? And thereby miss the boat? Miss God's call? Not be one of God's children again? Yes, you can. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith, here's another definition we need to hold about faith, is the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. We don't see it, but we know it's there. We have assurances from other things that it is there. We hope it's there, not from a hope that is unsure, but a hope that says we expect it to be there. God said it is going to be. We expect it to be there. We hope that it's there. We expect it to be there. We have the assurance that it's there. Speaking of his promises, speaking of things that he said would come about in his word. We hope for these things. We expect them. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And down to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We hear the word of God. We are convicted that it's true. We have the assurance that it is. And he who comes to God must believe that he is, God is. And that, faith that, he not only exists, but that he's going to do what he said, that his word is true, and that he is going to reward according to our efforts and works. Not that works will get us in, or that works will save us. Works is where rewards come in. Blessings are given by God to His children, to His family. That's where blessings come from, God. And they come to His children. Healing comes from the same. Comes by God. God provides blessing. God provides healing. God provides the hope. The hopes, plural, that we have. Let's go to Psalms 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Does hope mean you're uncertain about something? That it might or might not be? That it shows a lack of faith? No, that's not what God means in His word of hope. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 38 and verse 15. Psalms 38 and verse 15. For I hope in Thee, O Lord. Thou wilt answer, O Lord my God. Let's go to Psalm 71 and 14. Psalm 71 and 14. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise Thee yet more and more. I will hope continually. My rest is in God. I will rest upon Him and He will answer. And I will praise Thee yet more and more. Let's go to Matthew 12:21. Matthew 12:21. And in His name, the Gentiles will hope. Most people would refer, particularly of the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob directly, they would refer to us as Gentiles, and most people believe we are Gentiles. And in His name, the Gentiles will hope. That's where we put our trust, our assurance, our expectations are in Him. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 4. Romans 5, verse 4. Go back to 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Should we ask God daily for more and more of His Holy Spirit? Which is really asking Him for more of His presence in our heart and life. And really asking more for God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Because that's the Spirit that comes to us. Yes, we should ask for more of His Holy Spirit. And if anybody in this congregation has not asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit, do that. We all need it. It's what helps and leads and comforts and guides us. We need more and more of it. Let's go to chapter 8 of Romans, verse 24. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen Whatever you can see, feel, touch, for hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for that. Again, the word perseverance. It's important to persevere. It's important to hold on. It's important to not give up. That's what perseverance is. A made up mind. A committed mind. I'm going to walk with God. Our hope and our expectations and the assurances thereof are in God and in His provisions and in His promises. And the whole Word of God is filled with God's provisions and His promises. And you need to seek them out and know them and know that whatever He gave to others in that regard, you can claim it also. You did this for Abraham. Abraham was your child. Why would you deny me this? I'm your child. I want it. I claim it. I rest on it. That's how we need to think of it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Remember, we're talking about faith, blessings, healing, and hope. And how they are connected and interconnected. Deuteronomy 7:14. And this is God's word. And God is speaking about His family. God is speaking about His children. And sure, it's in regard to His children thousands of years ago. But that is as a blink of an eye to God. And we are His children. And we have these scriptures to look to God's promises in regard to us also. And you shall be blessed above all peoples. Do you think the people of the United States, the Christian people of the United States, do you think they are a blessed people? And maybe even above all the other peoples of the earth? Maybe even as God blessed His own chosen people, the nation of Israel, and the sons and descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe we are even more blessed than that, possibly. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle, and the Lord will remove from you, listen, can you rely on this? Can you count on it? Yes, as much as you are able to receive. Is there circumstances that would prevent this from being true? Yes. The way you live your life, what you do with your life, the mistakes you make or don't make, whether God's will enter into it or not, whether His glory and praise needs to be shown to someone else. Sometimes that enters into some of this. It's obvious when you read God's Word. The man that was blind didn't want to be blind, I'm sure. But he was blind from birth. And it's explained to Jesus, to His disciples, why that was. And it was so the power of God and glory of God could be shown through His life. And it was as Jesus healed his eyes and brought his eyesight back to him. And the Lord will remove from you all sickness, Deuteronomy 7:15. And He will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but He will lay them on all who hate you. Will God take some kind of action against people that despitefully use you and persecute you and try their best to make your day a bad day? I think God enters into things like that, and I know He sees it. And I know He don't like it with one of His children. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and 1. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Can you say amen? Has He not done that with the nation of America? Sure He has. Is He not doing that with His nation Israel right now? And every year that goes by, is He not working within His children and His chosen nation and His chosen city? Yes, He is. I will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessings is coming on us that hadn't even got here yet. And then when they do, it's going to be so abundant that they even go beyond us. Or in essence, it's as if the glass is being filled up and it's going to fill all the way to the top and it's going to overflow. That's saying the same thing. God's blessings can be counted on and relied on. And these are the blessings that He has for His children. Faith, blessings, healing, and hope. They will overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Wherever you go is what it's saying. Don't matter if you live in town or out in the country, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a businessman, or whatever, God's going to bless you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and in the country. Blessed shall be your offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your breast, the increase of the herd and of the young of your flock. It's saying in everything, whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to, God can see that blessings come your way. Let's go on. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneeling bow. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. It's going to be with you always. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. I love that verse. Your enemies, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated. They won't be successful rising up against God's children. They shall come against you one way, meaning like they're going to be a mighty force that's going to come against you. And they're going to come one direction. But when God gets done with them, they're going to be so scared and so ready to get away from you, they're going to go in any direction they can find. And the Word of God says seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hands to, and it will bless you in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you will keep, now here's that word if, and I've let you know many times before, I pay attention when I see the word if or but or anything along that line. If you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. We're talking about commitment. We're talking about faith. keep His commandments, walk in His way. Let's go on down. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, and in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your breast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. We're going through the 14th verse. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall lead and not follow, is what to me that's saying. And you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath. If you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. And that's saying there's only one God, and that's the one true living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is no other. Rest assured on it. Learn His ways. And walk in them. Okay, closing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and starting with verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. How are you going to do that? Over the phone? How are you going to be sincere enough with somebody, speaking to them over the phone or on an email, on a fax? You need to be in God's house with the other children of God, trying to be of whatever help and comfort to them that you can, and praying together for whatever the purposes are that are prevailing and presented. But encouraging one another, and all the more, even do it more, as you see the day, what day? The day of the Lord. The great day of the Lord. The second coming of Jesus Christ, for Him to draw out His own. All the more as you see the day drawing near. And it is drawing near. Let's all stand together.